have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, this is Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ, the Savior, is born. We are so grateful and thankful to Jesus. Hallelujah. We are so thankful, Jesus. We were created to worship you. We thank you for your birth. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for your soon coming. People of God, did you know that we were created to worship him? Because he is worthy, worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Our very breath to praise and worship him every day that he wakes us up. The word of God says in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Amen. Hallelujah. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We were created to worship him. And during this season, amen, Christ the Savior was born for our salvation, for humanity, amen, for all men to come and to know him in the name of Jesus. Well, listen, that's enough to lift up your hands and to bless him on today. Amen, that we were created for worship, people of God. Amen. This is your host of Shabbat Saturday. I am Apostle Dawn Westbrook, P.D. Westbrook. And that's what we do every Saturday when we come forth. Amen. Amen. The children's home on this very special Shabbat Saturday with my co-host, amen, for today, Prophetess Bridget Wilson Gaines. She's the founder and executive director of International Marketplace Ministries. Amen. And people of God, there is a great shaking going on in the heavenly air. Hallelujah. There is a shift occurring. Hallelujah. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for us, the just. Amen. The people of God. And there is a great exchange occurring because he has given us the authority to speak and say something in this hour. Amen. We can decree a thing and so it shall be established. And we Shabbat our awesome God on today. And I want to encourage you because this is the day that the Lord has created. This is the day that he made. That he will rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to God. So glory to God, Prophetess Wilson Gaines, amen, is here with us on Shabbat Saturday. She is going to inspire you. She is going to provoke you. She is going to move you in the realm of his glory. And woman of God, Prophetess Wilson Gaines, are you with us? If you are, woman of God, we bless you on today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so very much, Apostle Westbrook. I truly appreciate you and this opportunity to come before God's people and to speak his word in a due season. I bless the King of Glory. I Shabbat our God. I give him the absolute glory, for he is the head of my life, the author and the finisher of my faith. I bless his holy name, for he is absolutely God. And I know him personally as a deliverer and a healer. And so I give God the glory for this opportunity to come before his people, to be able to administer a word of God that will be able to cause a transformation on the inside of us. The clarion call has been, where are the wailing women? Where are the wailing men? Where are the people of God? Where is their heart posture in the kingdom of the Most High? Are they going forth to do his will, or are they going forth to do their will? Hallelujah. We bless God this day because we know that God is going to bring forth such a revival as this world has never, ever seen before. It starts in the hearts and the minds of his people that we should repent. And before I get started with the word of God, let us pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless your holy name. We come boldly unto the throne of grace. We ask you, Father God, to forgive us of our sins, first of all. We ask, O God, that you purify our minds, our hearts, our soul, that we will be a vessel of honor before your throne. I pray, Father God, that your fire will go out and cause many to be healed, many to be delivered, many to be transformed. Whatever it is that they need, Father God, I pray this day, this hour, that you will release your spirit, that you will release your anointing into the atmosphere. We take charge over the atmosphere in this hour, and we blow and we say, Lord, blow the Deucalion winds through the four corners of the earth, that your people might hear your voice and surrender and submit unto you, that we might do the work that you've called us to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that those that need healing in their physical bodies, those that need healing in their mind, in their soul, man, hallelujah, that every root of the enemy will be pulled up out of them to be set free in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that if they are having any type of infirmities within their physical bodies, that you send your winds of healing to the four corner regions of the earth to bring about deliverance from every affliction of the enemy, whether it is a physical affliction, whether it is a financial affliction, whether it is a mental, emotional affliction, we take authority over it now. And we ask, oh God, that you send your mighty angels forth to minister effectively to your people, to cause a change in their environment, in their atmosphere, in the name of Jesus, as well as on the inside of them. Because we know, Father God, that the word of God is alive and active, and it will produce what you send it after. And so we give you the glory and the praise. We honor your vessel of honor, Apostle P.D. Westbrook, Father God, that you will strengthen the woman of God as she continues to go forth to do your will. We thank you, Father God, for your vessel of honor, and we give you the glory and the praise. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I don't take it lightly that God has called us to do a work in this season, in this time. Each of us, every last one of us that has been born into the earth, has an opportunity to know God and to serve him. And I tell you that we are living in a time and a season where many, even in the church, has turned away and began to build their own platforms and began to do their own thing. But God is saying, come back. Come back to my bosom. Come back to my will. Come back to my purpose in my life, because it is absolutely not about us. It is about him. It is about doing his will in the earth. God's people are suffering because some have not been obedient to the clarion call of truly walking under the power of the Holy Spirit to cause people to be set free and delivered. I'm asking God to help us this day, that we will begin to flow through a pure prophetic stream, through a pure apostolic stream, through a pure evangelistic anointing, through a pure pastoral anointing, through a pure teacher's anointing in the fivefold gifts. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name, O God, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Today, one of our scripture references, our primary scripture reference, is coming from 2 Chronicles. We're going to start at chapter 12 as I begin to read, and I want you to listen to this word carefully, because this word was not only appropriate in the day of Samuel, but it was also appropriate for today. Why? Because many have turned away. The Bible says in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And this is what we are seeing a lot of in our churches and in the world today. So today this word says in 2 Chronicles 7, 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard the prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive them their sins, and I will heal their land. Let's stop right there just for a moment with that particular scripture. Many of us, when we read the word of God, we take it literally, for what it is saying, that I want you to understand something about the land. The Bible says in the beginning, in Genesis, that God created mankind in his image and in his likeness, and he caused man to come from the dust of the ground. The dust of the ground is the land, my God. And so we are that land. The Bible says that if we are his people, if we would humble ourselves, see, there it is right there, humility, humbling ourselves, and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, from our wicked agendas, from whatever it is that we think we ought to be doing that was not signed by heaven, hallelujah, he says, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal the land. That land is us. It's not just the grounds that we walk on. We're talking about us as individual people, as the people of God, hallelujah. And then he says over in verse 15, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, talking about us, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be perpetually there. Hallelujah. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. He says, then he says to him, he's talking to Solomon, but he's also speaking to us as born-again believers, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom accordingly as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. God is speaking to us today because he is saying to us this day that we need to repent. We need to repent from our own agendas. We need to repent from our own mindsets. We need to repent from going in our own way, thinking that we're doing something. I give God the glory for the opportunity to minister his word because God is saying unto his people, I need you to come back and even do your first works over. Some of us just need to repent. And I'm one of those that say, Lord, forgive me. I am one of those that constantly, continuously says, Father, forgive me because I know myself. I know my flesh. Many of us, we're saved, we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but there are some things that are on the inside of us where we need major deliverance on the inside. And I give God the glory because, see, we are to work on ourselves. The word says we are to work out our own soul salvation. And this is where many have missed it. Just because you go to church, just because you preach the word, just because you sing in the choir, just because you sing on the praise and worship team does not mean that you're living according to the will and the purpose of God in the earth. We are the light of the earth. We are the ones that are the light carriers. We carry the light of God on the inside of us. We carry the glory of God on the inside of us. Therefore, wherever we go, whatever we do, we are the light bearers. We are the ones that are to cause a change in the atmosphere. We are to become atmosphere changers everywhere our feet shall tread upon. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this slew foot devil, I can't stand him. He is cunning, and he will try to come in and slip in through the back door and cause many to fall and to falter even in their walk, even as fivefold gifts. So God is calling for a people. God is calling for a nation of people that will return back unto him and do the work on themselves. We always thought, many of us, that once we got saved that we are okay, but there is a work that we need to do in our own selves. We are the ones that have to choose to surrender each and every moment of the day. There is a statement where they say in the world, check yourself before you wreck yourself. God is saying unto us, we need to check ourselves. We need to keep ourselves humble before him and allow him to do what he needs to do in us. That means we're going to be stretched. That means we're going to go through some things. That means sometimes an attack may come, but it's how you respond to the attack that maintains your altitude. My God, thank you, Holy Ghost. We are the ones that have to make a decision each and every day. And one of the things that I have found out in this life is that your mind, which is your heart, controls how you feel. This is why the Word of God says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is your most powerful asset. Your mind is where the seat of God's throne resides. Your mind is your heart. Most of the time when people of God hear about the heart, they're thinking about, they always point to the chest. But let me tell you something. It is not the chest that God is talking to. Hallelujah. It is the mind. The mind is where the battles are won and lost. Your thinking, the way you think, your thought life has a resonation in the spirit. If you're thinking on evil things, then you're going to function in evilness. That's why the word says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can you say that you love God? How can you say that your mind is being transformed when you're not in the Word on a consistent basis, when you're not in prayer before God? It is not just for the fivefold gifts. This is a clarion call to the body of believers that claim the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior over their lives. God is saying, come back to me. I realize that there are many distractions around you. I realize that this virus has taken a hold of many and have caused many to go to sleep, even prematurely. But God is saying unto us, return back to me. Come back to me. Allow me to heal you on the inside. Death might come, but we want to be found in the will of God. The Bible gives us all a certain time to live. He did not say when we were going to go. We know that we have power and authority over the enemy. Why? Because he says so in his word, that he has given us all power over the devil and his demons. And many of us do not understand that whether you are a fivefold gift or a layman, a person that just got saved, they still have the same power and authority, hallelujah, over the forces of darkness. And therefore, it is up to us to gravitate and begin to receive the engrafted word of God that we might be transformed on the inside. The problem is not the exterior of what is going on around us. The problem is the interior of what we're thinking on. Because as a man thinks in his heart, which is his mind, so is he. If you're thinking negative, if you're allowing negative thoughts to come into your mind, then you are keeping yourself bound to this world. My God, many of us, because we have so many distractions, we have the television, we have radios, we have all kinds of things and places that we want to go. Many are going to and fro. Many are on their cell phones and watching videos and doing all kinds of things. But there comes a time when we have to put those things down and begin to seek the face of God from our hearts, from our mind. That means that you're going to have to get on the floor. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Many people do not understand that this is a heart posture. We are to come humbly, humbly before the throne of grace and repent and say, Father God, help me. I tell you, we are to be a light bearer. Many of us go to work. Even if we go to work or if we have a business, there are many that are in the marketplaces where they are able to witness and be a light unto people. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into businesses or I've walked into governmental agencies and people would say, I see something on you. And I didn't say anything out loud. I didn't even smile externally because I knew that they were seeing the glory of the Lord. This comes from spending time with God in prayer. This comes from spending time with God in the Word. How can you know God truly if you're not spending time with him? How can you be effective in the world? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. My God, many of God's people have left their first love. And I see that there is beginning, as the scripture says, a great falling away. Not that they stopped going to church, not that they stopped shouting, not that they stopped preaching, not that they did not stop doing certain activities, but their hearts are far from God. Why? Because we are not seeing the miracles that we should be seeing. I was talking to one of my friends that's been around for a long time in ministry, and I said, do you remember 30, 40 years ago when we used to see miracles in the church? I don't care if it was a hole-in-the-wall church. I don't care what was going on. A person could come in sloppy drunk into a church house and go out sober and clean that day. My God, we would see so many miracles where young people were getting delivered, old people were getting up and walking that had crutches and walkers and things of that nature. The church has to return back to God. Those that call themselves born-again believers have to return back to God. Those of us that know God, those of us that seek God, we know that God's word is effective. We know that God's power is real. God is calling us back, hallelujah, to a place of purity. And what I mean by purity, purity in your living, purity in your speaking, purity in your mind. How do you obtain that? You have to sometimes go in and dig deep and look at your own self. See, this thing is personal. We have to look at ourselves and see where are we really at, not put up a facade and pretend like we're living according to the word of God. God wants us to be pure in everything that we do, in our business transactions, everywhere that we go. He is looking for those vessels. He is looking to blow, hallelujah, his power upon those that we would even become like Peter, that when we pass by someone, that they would get delivered and set free. We have to turn back, church. We have to turn back to the King of Glory. We have to return back to prayer. We have to begin. People now, my God, if they get upset if we're in church too long, they're like the preacher's preaching too long or the prayer service is too long. I remember back in the day when we had shut-ins. Where are the shut-ins? Where are the people that are willing to lay before God for 24 hours or 48 hours in a period of time and really begin to call on the King of Glory? Where are the mindsets? I understand that we have jobs and things. We had jobs and things 40 years ago, and yet we were still able to come and fellowship together and pray together and seek the face of God. Now people will say it's too long. Well, I have a news flash for you. The devil does not care about your opinion, hallelujah, nor does God, because the devil has creeped in and caused many to miss out because us as a body of believers have not fully begun to function as we should. We have left our first love. My God, help us today, Holy Ghost. We have left our first love. I need you to understand something. These people that practice dark arts, that study the book of Satan, the Bible of Satan, the Bible of Lucifer, that when we're in church 2 hours a day on a Sunday, they're in their services 8 hours a day learning how to speak incantations and word curses over us. We can't even turn down the plate no more to fast and pray. The Bible says some of these things cannot come out except we fast and pray. Are you willing to turn down the plate? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? See, these people that serve the devil, they make sacrifices. They will sacrifice their firstborn. They will sacrifice their secondborn. They will tithe and give everything. They will bleed. Hallelujah. They will drink blood, power of Satan. But we got people in the church that want to complain. We got people in the church that want to set up their own agendas. We got people in the church that are showboating, acting like it is God, but it is not God. It is not the Spirit of God. It is flesh. Hallelujah. That's why many of people are leaving out of the churches the same way they came in. The church is the hospital. Hallelujah. The building that we come in, hallelujah, is really not the church that we call it as we have all of these years. You are the church. You are the temple of the Most High God. You carry the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The word says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. God is saying unto us, hallelujah, that we need to come back to our first love. We need to repent. We want to see people delivered and set free.
Okay,
hallelujah. We want to see people.
Neighbors going to come down or it's going to be like this.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name, O God, and we thank you, Father God, that your will is being done in the earth. We're asking God's people to repent. This is what it says over in 2 Chronicles. Repent and turn back to your first love. God loves us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be delivered. He wants us to be healed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we are calling on those that know the Lord to really begin to turn their lives around and ask themselves the question, am I really seeking God? Am I really doing all that God has given me to do? I realize that we have families and we have babies and we have things and responsibilities, but it is your heart posture, which is your mind posture. What are you thinking on constantly? Because what you think on will resonate in the realm of the spirit. What you continuously to allow in your ear gate, in your eye gate, what comes out of you, hallelujah, will affect the atmosphere. We are atmosphere changers, and I can talk about this thing. There was a time with my saved self, because I did not understand some of these, where I was in deep depression. I was in trouble. I was suicidal at one time because I didn't understand some of these things. I didn't know. I'm sharing my testimony about what God has done in my own personal life, and I began to realize that what I think on, hallelujah, affects me. There was a time when I experienced panic and anxiety attacks, when I would freeze up. And I did not understand because there were certain things that had happened to me even as a child. They were called generational bloodline curses and things of that nature that came up. And I didn't understand how to fight against these things. But it was the power of God that came in. It was God himself that will come into our lives and begin to help us to walk this thing out. If we will turn and begin to seek God from a pure heart. And what I mean by a pure heart is that we come humbly before God, hallelujah, and we say to him, Father, help me. Keep me in all my ways. Help me to live a sanctified life. That means a life set apart unto God, not with our own agendas. We watch a lot of TV in these days. We watch a lot of movies in these days, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. Don't get me twisted. I'm not saying you cannot watch TV. I'm not saying you cannot enjoy yourself in this life. But we are living in a time when we're having this virus. This is the second year that we've had to deal with this COVID-19 virus, and it continues to mutate, and it continues to take people out. I've had a few family members this year that died, and it hurt me to the core. We have had people that have been saved, great ones, that have been saved and love God that were afflicted by this virus and they died. I'm not saying that they were not living right, but that was the way, the vehicle that God chose to bring them to his presence. Hallelujah. Some of us have had sicknesses and diseases in our bodies where perhaps maybe God allowed us to go ahead and come on into the King of Glory, come on into heaven at that particular time. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying to us that are alive, let us seek God. Let us seek God with our whole heart, with our whole mind. My God, I tell you, as I began to look at some other scriptures as I was preparing for this, coming from the New Living Testament in Ephesians 1:15, it says, every since, this is what Paul is speaking, he says, every since I first heard your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, verse 16 says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. 17 says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Verse 18 says, and this is the New Living Testament, says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. His holy people are his rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power, which is power for us who believe in him. Verse 19 says, this is the same mighty power, hallelujah, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms. Verse 21 says, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Now, 1 Timothy 4 and 1 in the New Living Testament says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. God does not want us to be in that place and in that position. He is calling on us to turn back to prayer. He is calling on us to make a sacrificial life of prayer, a sacrificial life of sowing seeds, because it takes finances in this world to get things done. Many of us are being faithful. Many of us are being faithful to that clarion call, but there are some that are not. And so we're not speaking to those that maybe are doing all that God has given them to do. We're speaking to those that perhaps maybe you strayed off a little bit or you strayed off completely. We're calling in the backslider. We're calling in those that have not really given their all and all unto God. God's desire is that we all come into the knowledge and the truth of the faith, that we all begin to walk as one in one accord, that we all begin to surrender our lives. It is not just for the preacher. It is for every born-again believer to be saved, because even the lay person can win souls to the kingdom of God. Even the lay person can be an evangelist and win souls. The Bible says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. That's how we all got saved. We are all to do the work of an evangelist. It's not just the call to those to that office. It is every born-again believer's responsibility to do this work, to win souls, to be a light bearer. Everywhere we go, husbands and wives and children, be a light bearer everywhere we go. The devil has brought in so many distractions. I think about our children that have these game systems and how they sit on these game systems for hours and hours, but they will not read the word. Their parents will not discipline them enough. It's like parents have gotten afraid to discipline some of their children anymore. And I understand that, you know, we want to be careful how we treat our children. But as a parent, we are responsible for these young people. We are responsible for raising them up to know God, to know that Jesus is absolutely Lord. Not that those things are not okay, if that's what, but give them a time limit and come together as family members and pray together. Because even the word says those that pray together stay together. My God, we have to get to a point where we really begin to speak the faith of God to know his heart. That's why he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the answer to everything. It is not just for the preacher. It is not just for the deacons. It is not just for, it is for all of us that have been born again. It is for each and every one of us that loves God. My God, it is for all of us. And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. We have so many different denominational differences. And it's the same thing that was going on when Jesus came on the scene. If you look back, Jesus was dealing with various sects of the religious organizations back then. And they thought that when Jesus came, he was going to restore them, bring down the kingdom that was going on in the government at that time. Your government is not your God. Your government is there in place because of God. But God desires, hallelujah, that we begin to seek God, that we begin to turn to God. Jesus came to set us free in our minds. Jesus came to set us free in our bodies. Jesus came that we could be delivered and be free. My God, Many of us are struggling in our faith walk. How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you really spend in the Word? If you're giving more time to the television, more time to other things, I don't mean don't go to work. That's not what I'm saying. If you have to work, you have to work those 8 hours, or however many hours you have to work. But even in work, I found that I could still talk to God in my mind. My mind is the throne room. Your mind is the throne room of God. Just like you talk to yourself in your mind, you can talk to God in your mind. God hears you. He hears every thought. He sees every emotion, every thought that we have. We have to surrender unto him. So even while you are on that job, even while you are working your business, you can still commune with the Father. Yes, there are moments when we come and we lay on our face before God in our homes, and we have a prayer place where we go into our closet, which is our hearts, our minds, and we begin to labor before God. But God is calling his people back to prayer. God is calling his people to make the sacrifice to really seek him and to know him intimately. How can you know someone if you don't really spend time with them? How can you know your God if you're not in his word? How can you really know that God is going to answer your prayer if you don't stay in the word? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Change your atmosphere in your home. Let worship be in your home constantly. I'm telling you, we are living in a time where we are fighting for our very lives, and the atmosphere of our homes determines on where we flow spiritually. The atmosphere, we are to be atmosphere changers. We are the ones that can change the trajectory of everything that is going on, even in our neighborhoods. We are to be a light in our neighborhoods. They should not see us behaving the same way that they behave. They should see us behaving the way God's desire and design is for us as born-again believers. If you're out there doing some of the same things that they're doing, partying, smoking, drinking, we already know those are things that God does not desire us to do. But if we're doing the same things, then we're not being a light to the people that need to know that Jesus is absolutely Lord. And nor will we really have the power, my God, to flow in the things of God. God is looking for people that will live upright. God is looking for people that will function from a pure heart, a pure mind. Many of our preachers have gone forth and they have been charlatans in the church. They have done all kinds of things to manipulate people, to get money out of people, to do all kinds of things. And many of us know about these things. Some of us have been hurt in churches by leadership and people that maybe they were just not quite right. Maybe they needed help. I'm going to say this to you today. Pray for them, because they still belong to God, even though they did not do what they were supposed to do. God's desire is that we forgive people that hurt us. God's desire is that we let it go and turn them over to the Lord. That does not mean you have to deal with them. Some of us might need to leave some of the places where we've been worshiping. If you're not getting fed properly, if the word of God is not coming forth to really help you to get yourself delivered, to help you to know God in a greater measure, perhaps you need to find a place that will feed your soul and your spirit to have you to grow and to know God in a greater measure. Many of us have gotten caught up in traditions. I'm going to say it, yes. Many of us have gotten caught up in traditions. My granny went to this church. My daddy went to this church. My auntie went to this church. But if that church is not really helping you, because all that shouting don't mean nothing if it is not in your heart. That shouting and all that jumping around and hollering and all that stuff does not mean anything if you're not really living the word of God. God's desire is that we live the word, not just preach the word, but that we live by the word, that we function according to the word of God. God's desire is that we come back to him and allow him to be first and foremost in our lives. God's desire is that we operate and work according to the word of God. There were many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that had businesses that did various things where they were able to come in and bring finances into the kingdom. Why? Because we live in a world where finances is the commodity. Finances is the currency. Finances is what causes. So when your pastor or your leader ask you to sow and you know they're coming from a pure heart and a pure stream, and you know that they're doing community work, and they're feeding the hungry, and they're helping the sick. They have a hospital ministry. They have ministries where they go and visit those that are shut in and all of that. They go into the prisons. They go and they cause people to know God. They witness to those. They are strong in their faith. These are the ministries that we should be sowing our seeds into. When you sow into the kingdom of God, when I'm speaking about sowing, I'm saying sow into good soil, because you reap what you sow. If you sow into someone that is not right with God, you're going to reap that thing. So many of us, because we like certain voices and things of that nature, we don't know these people sometimes when they come to our churches to preach. We don't know what kind of lifestyle they've had outside of the church when they're not in the building, when they're not around you. We have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God is calling for us. And this is something that even lay people that have the Holy Spirit can be sensitive to know whether something is God or not. Stop allowing people to pull you all around and to bring you into places that may not be God. You have a right to know God for yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't have a pastor, because the Bible says that God gave gifts unto men, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, for the edifying of the building of the church, the edifying of building our faith. Ephesians 4:11 talks about this. Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Sometimes we got to go back and revisit the words that we read before, because I find personally that every time I look at the word and I see the word, I get more revelation on something that I didn't have before. Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, various experiences in our life will cause us to know God in a greater measure. Are you really seeking God? Are you allowing God to transform you? Are you digging deep, hallelujah, into the recesses of your soul and allowing God to have every part of your soul, man? Some of us just give God just a little bit. God is saying, I want all of you. Hallelujah. I want every part of your soul, man. There is no reservation to hold back. Allow God to come all the way in. Some of these things cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. That is not just for the preacher. That is for the layperson, too. We have to be so hungry for God that we want all of God. We want to walk in the purity of the faith. We want to walk in the purity of the Holy Spirit. God is calling for a people in this hour that will rise up and begin to seek him like never before, begin to call on him. This is why Apostle P.D. Westbrook is doing the well. Where are the wailing women? Where are the wailing men? Where are those that will make the sacrifice to go before the throne of God to pull people out of the muck and the miry clay of darkness? The devil is deceptive. He is very cunning. He can come in on a sly and begin to deceive many. The Bible says in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what I just read over in the New Living Testament. We have to be careful, folks. We are living in the final hours. We are living in the last days. Things have changed. They've even changed the statues over in New York. And people don't even know that these are some of the demonic entity statues that they've risen up. Okay, we complained about how they were treating some of us as African Americans here in America, but now they're taking charge and they're raising up these statues that they worship. They're serving another god. They're not serving the God of heaven and earth. They're serving the God of the underworld, and they're bringing forth these demon spirits, these demon statues that are coming forth to show forth. My God, people of God, wake up. Wake up and hear God. Know his voice. Dig into his word. Stay in prayer. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Honor him with your first fruits. Honor him with your tithes. Honor him with your offerings. Honor him with your life. Honor him by the way you live. honor him, hallelujah, by the way you give yourself over to him, withholding nothing. My God, God does not want us to withhold any part of our lives from him. He already knows what we're thinking. He already knows what we're doing. And I love him. I remember David said, when I made my bed in hell, I found thou art there. That is an experience that I personally had myself. I found that when I made my bed in hell, I felt that my God was right there, and he will come to you, and he will minister. He will never let you go. This is the kind of God that we serve. He knows right where we are. He knows our heart posture. You cannot hide from God. Come out of hiding and begin to repent. Come out of hiding and begin to say, God, I need you. God, I desire you. Help me, oh God. But let me tell you, the choice is yours. God is not going to make you behave. He will give you the strength to do it once you submit to him. But you have to make the choice every day. The scripture says over in Matthew 6:33, and I've learned to take it one day at a time because yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not gotten here yet. But the word says over in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things whatsoever you need shall be added unto you. That means whatever your needs are, if you're seeking God, God is going to meet your need. God is going to meet it because his word says so. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he shall bring it to pass. He will cause men and women to give unto you when you choose to walk upright. I'm a living witness. I've had things happen for me when I didn't have nothing, and God came in and gave someone a word and told them to sow into me. I am a living witness that when we choose to obey God, when we choose to walk upright before God, help is on the way. My God, never give up on God. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what's going on in your life. Keep your heart posture and your mind bent towards God. Keep your emotions in check. Allow God to have his way in your life that you can be free and be able to flow in the Holy Spirit, in the things of God. It does not mean you got to look like an old mean mule or anything like that. It's not about our outward exterior. It is really about the interior of our mind, hallelujah, and our emotions. The word of God will control you. The word of God will keep you if you let it. The word of God will transform you if you stay in the word. I tell people all the time, no word, no faith, no prayer life, no power. They go hand in hand. How can you really have prayer, have power to obey the word of God? How can you have faith in the word of God if you're not in the word? We give more time to the TV and everything on the exterior than we do to spending time with God. How much time are you really spending with the Father? How much time are you talking to God? How much time are you on your face before God? You have to determine, how bad do you really want it? How bad do you want God to move in your life? And should God decide not to do what you asked him to do, it is his desire and will. Perhaps maybe he has another avenue or something else, or perhaps maybe you ask from a wrong heart posture, or perhaps maybe it's not just his will for you. Therefore, if you're in prayer with God, he will reveal to you what is going on. Don't ever think that God does not answer your prayer just because he did not answer that particular prayer. Maybe that was not his will for that circumstance. Maybe God wanted to do something else. Don't blame God. Hallelujah. Look at yourself and see where you are. And at the same time, whatever the will of God is, accept it. God knows everything. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows our future, and he knows our past. Let us seek God like never before. Let us begin to trust him like never before in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that this word has blessed you. I pray that this word has helped you. I pray that this word has challenged you to really begin to seek God. No word, no faith, no prayer life, no power. And this is a moment in time as we come to a conclusion in this hour. that those that don't know the Lord, those that desire to want to be saved, it is just this temple. Ask him, because the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Hallelujah. Romans 10 and 9 says, glory to God. Romans 10 and 9 says it like this, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, which is the mind, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the scriptures saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. I'm telling you, I remember when I got saved, there was no man that came to me. They were talking about born-again believers years ago, and I didn't understand what born-again was because I was like Nicodemus, and I thought, how could I be born again? But I picked up the Gideon New Testament, and I began to read the Word of God. And by the time I got to Matthew chapter 7, where it says, broad and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow and straight is the way that leads to life, I lifted up my hands towards heaven, and I began to ask the Lord to come into my mind and into my heart. I had no clue that that was what you were supposed to do, but I was so hungry for God that that was my desire, and I kept reading the word, and the next thing I know, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues before any man could even tell me there was no such thing. See, this is what happens when we get hungry for God. God will come in and bless you with the gifts. God will come in and bless you with all that he desires for you to have. Hallelujah. I began to speak in tongues. I didn't even understand it. I was praying like Hannah, and I was just talking to God. I didn't even realize at the moment that talking was praying. I didn't understand that I didn't have to use these eloquent words, and I was speaking from my heart, and all of a sudden, the words began to come out. And then after that experience, I contacted a sister in my neighborhood and said, what church do you go to? And I began to go to church. See, when you're hungry enough for God, when you're hungry enough for God, he will show up. He will come in and sup with you. He will come in and minister to you. It wasn't that I didn't know about God growing up. I fell in love with God as a little girl. But they didn't teach us as little children back then that you could accept Christ. I remember hearing some of the adults saying the children don't understand. Yes, we do. I knew who Enoch was as a girl at 4 and 5 years old. I understood the relationship that he had with God, and I desired it. But they didn't tell me as a little girl that you needed to receive Christ. See, these are the things that we need to talk about to our toddlers and to our children. They see you talking to God. They want to know. Gather your family members. Gather them in prayer. But remember this. If you need and you want to receive Christ this day and in this hour, ask him to come into your heart. We just read the scripture today. Confess with your own mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. This is the clarion call for salvation. Remember that scripture, Romans 10, 8 and 9 and 10. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Receive Christ this day as your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart. Those that want to receive Christ, just confess that with your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, come into my mind, and stay with me and help me to know you in a greater measure. And that's all it takes to receive Christ Jesus. Not a whole lot of hoopla or anything like that. You just have to confess with your own mouth and believe in your mind heart that God has raised him from the dead, that Jesus is Lord, and thou shall be saved. It is just that simple. And then ask God to lead you to a good church home where you can be fed by a preacher that is living the word of God, that can help you to grow in your faith. How can they hear except they have a preacher? So allow God to have his way. I pray that this word has helped you, and I truly want to give God the glory for the host of this radio station, Apostle P.D. Westbrook, woman of God. I want to say thank you again for for allowing me to come on and share from my heart what God has placed in me. God bless you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Prophetess Bridget Wilson James. We were so blessed by the word on today. Glory to God. And, you know, I just want to say in closing, Abba Father, the word that has been released in this hour now fill this broadcast with your glory. That those who are under the sound of our voices now and later, hallelujah, hallelujah, will experience a great manifestation of your power, of your presence, amen. Touch the life and nature of God within them in the name of Jesus, that they will turn back to you, Father God. I believe that change is taking place now, and there is a clearing call for repentance revival, and change is taking place now as we receive this engrafted word on today by your servant. Amen. Repenting, Father God, help us. You are calling us back to you, calling us back to prayer. Dig deep into the recesses of our soul, as the woman of God says. You know our hearts, Father God, and we desire you with everything that is within us. Change is taking place now in Jesus' name. We are so grateful, woman of God. Thank you. Thank you again, hallelujah, for being with us on this awesome opportunity to be here in this in Elation Radio, hallelujah, on this broadcast and this podcast with our producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim Robinson. We are thankful for you all, the listening audience, and those who are here on the call with us. Thank you for stopping by for another Shabbat Saturday. We truly do thank you all, and we do not take it lightly. I believe this was a divine appointment. There will be a recording that will be available on YouTube, amen, and on our Facebook page where you should go back and hear this word again. It was a lot, but a lot that is needed, particularly now, because it's critical, people of God. The heart of the Father is crying out for his people. And it's so simple. He's just saying, come back to me. Again, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Prophetess Bridget Wilson James. Thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim. Thank you, our listening audience. Amen. And those who are with us on this call for this afternoon, we are grateful and we do love you deeply. Amen. For just supporting us. And we pray the Lord will continue to bless you. Please all come back next Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for another Shabbat Saturday at this great station, Elation Radio. And Dr. Kimmy Kim, our producer, may the Lord God continue to use you, great woman of God. Now please close us out. Shalom, everyone. We love you.
Praise God. Father God, we just thank you right now that you are, have blessed your word, that you have blessed your people. We pray, Father God, that this word will permeate their minds and their hearts and that they will be transformed. We thank you for the producer. We thank you for the host. Hallelujah, that your will is being done in our lives. And we ask that you seal this life, you seal this word with your glory and with your power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
For us to take.